Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 24 on November 26th, 2012. And also, welcome to the world of strap-on harnesses. That is what we are going to be talking about tonight. We are going to explore your strap-on harness choices, and there are quite a few. Diving right in here, I'm going to separate them by material. The very first one we're going to talk about is probably one of the most expensive ones, which is leather. Leather harnesses, well, leather just as a material is yummy and luxurious. Leather, many people have leather itself as a fetish. I mean, forget the pegging thing. The way it feels and smells can just be intoxicating and definitely lends it a feeling of luxury to a harness. So leather is often a choice for harnesses. Technically, leather should not be shared because it can hold germs and cannot be perfectly sterilized. So if it's just you and your partner using it and you're fluid bonded, it's fine to wipe it down with alcohol and condition the leather when it needs it with any conditioning treatment that you actually could find like in a place that sells saddle conditioning, leather stuff, a leather boot store, places like that. But again, leather harnesses should be used by fluid bonded couples and not loaned out. So in this category, there is one leather strap-on harness company that totally rises to the top with excellent quality and well-designed harnesses, and that is Aslan Leather. Aslan Leather has been making strap-on harnesses since 1991. That's like over 20 years, people. They have all the fine points down, like they have sturdy fasteners and they got to look sleek and kind of sexy, and they have a variety of colors and styles, and they have a low riding fit so that the dildo sits over her clitoral area instead of riding too high. When the fit is too high, she is actually fucking with her pubic mound instead. And if she really puts some muscle behind the thrust, she can end up bruised. And here's why I think you bruise more easily. It's because if the harness is too high, the pressure is more against your pubic bone instead of further down and on your clitoral area. But feel free to send me some feedback on that particular point, listeners, because I was helping a friend out who had a lady friend who bruises quite easily with strap-on harnesses, and we were trying to puzzle it out, whether it was the O-ring, whether it was the position of the harness, maybe if she would do better with a double. It's kind of hard to say, but I think that's what happens, is that if it's too high, it's against your pubic mound and your pubic bone. So I'm gonna give you so many links today. This is like Linkorama today about all of these things I'm talking about. So there will be a link to Aslan Leather. One thing I wanted to mention as well is that Aslan Leather also has these way cool little leather pieces that slide on to the two straps and turn them into a place there that will hold. It turns it into a device that will hold another dildo or a butt plug. They call them double up cuffs, and they're kind of hard to describe. You sort of have to see them, but these little leather pieces of magic give you all kinds of options, namely, a dildo in her vagina, a butt plug in her ass, or even a dildo in her ass while she's pegging. Those little things rock, and they can turn almost any harness, two-strap harness, into something that will hold something inside her, so to speak. And again, I'll leave you the link for that so that you can take a look and see that. On the very, very high-end leather category, there is a very high-end leather harness company for you pegging enthusiasts who love pretty things. It's called Shiri Zin, Shiri. And the harnesses are made of lambskin with these lovely triangles that hang down over the woman's ass in the back. Some of those triangles are embroidered with glass beads and decorations, and they're satin. Some of them are painted leather. And Shiri Zin also offers, get this, color-coordinated, totally smooth ceramic dildos with gold decorations on them to go with these harnesses. I've never tried something that rigid, as a ceramic dildo, but they're offered in a local toy store here, the Kama Sutra Closet. And Roy Lynn, who owns this store, told me that some men really, really like that rigidity in the dildo. And so, you know, some people like it, some people don't, I imagine. It's absolutely beautiful, that's for sure. So I'm really glad to know that some guys like it, because it is just one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. These harnesses strap on with D-rings. Oh, and not only are they gorgeous, color-coordinated, smooth ceramic dildos, they have gold decorations on them, for goodness sake. Like, literally, like, 9-karat gold or something, I think it said. So, the straps fasten with D-rings on the sides, and they're really, really gorgeous. They're the prettiest harnesses I've ever seen. I have not tried them out, but I suppose I should put one of those on my wish list. Yeah, right, that wish list for the guys I'm meeting on the vanilla dating site, right. Okay, moving right along here. The woman behind Shiri's Inn has some amazing things for sale alongside these harnesses, and her toys are absolutely pieces of art. So take a look around her website, and once again, I'm leaving you the link. There are many choices for leather strap-on harnesses, but they are absolutely not all equal. Some of them will not have the proportions right, so the harnesses ride high. Some of them won't be designed well for comfort, and they might pinch or rub in certain areas because they've put buckles or fasteners in bad places. So when you're looking for a leather harness, and the cheap ones are tempting you, consider your choice carefully. If you're going to spring for the leather, it might be better to buy from a company that has worked all the flaws out, like the pinching and the slipping and the uncomfortable parts, and maybe it doesn't hold the dildo well, and maybe it just simply doesn't fit very well. Sometimes it's better to be patient and save up for another month and get the better harness, but if you're going to try for the cheaper one, do your research and always, always make sure you buy something where you can read reviews on that item. That's critical. Because there's nothing better than getting feedback from a customer about how they liked what you intend to buy. That rocks. Okay, we're going to move on from leather to fabric harnesses. Fabric harnesses, the main advantages that they have are that they're comfortable. And also, they're oh so washable. Talk about easy cleanup. Easy peasy. Love the fabric harnesses. We're going to start off with what I consider to be like the queen of the fabric harnesses, which is spare parts. The Spare Parts Company have been making harnesses since 2005. I read a little bit about the history of their company today, and they made it sound like they sort of started this endeavor in 1996. And I guess from 1996 to 2005, they did research. That sounds like a really fun time to me. But they came out with their first official harness in 2005. I consider these to be like the Cadillacs of the fabric harnesses for a lot of reasons. They have a lot of little extras and cool things about them that just make them work. And not only just work, they work for everybody. There's a couple of different sizes, but they have sizes that will fit everyone, and they're very, very adjustable. Also, they have little pockets for the bullet vibes sewn above and below the O-ring on the inside. And you can use the one below, the one above, or both. They are completely adjustable. And they can be used with the single or the double dildos. What happens in back of that O-ring opening in the front is you've got kind of lapped over material. So those doubles can just you can push that material aside and it goes right back in. So it works perfectly. Spare parts do have a number of styles now, including a new boy shorts style. And they've also got a new dead sexy harness called the Sasha. I did post that some time back on my blog. And it has these beautiful garter straps on it. And it has this effect called ruching, which is a gathering that pulls the sides of the hips up. And there's also some ruching, not just on the sides of the hips, but one at the top of the crack of the ass. So you pull that one up and it emphasizes her ass cheeks as well. Now, I personally love the look of that. I don't know how comfortable it is, but the look of it, ooh, maybe it's just because I'm fascinated with asses. I don't know. But it looks yummy. So as gorgeous as it is, unfortunately, the couple of reviews that I found on it, because there's not very many out there yet, complain of poor quality. Not all of the reviews, but there was a couple of reviews that did some close-up pictures and showed some sloppy stitching and loose threads. And this is really totally unacceptable with a price tag that the Sasha has. And it's surprising to me because Spare Parts is such a great company and the other harnesses they offer are very well made. So I don't know what happened with the Sasha. Maybe there's a demand for it and they're trying to make them too quickly. I have no idea. Also, the reviews that are out there suggest if you get the Sasha, buying up one size, which is not true with the other harnesses. So perhaps give them some time and they'll fix these problems. But Spare Parts makes a number of different other styles. The most common one for strap-on use is called the Jacques, and that's spelled J-O-Q-U-E. And I have one of those. I love it. It's awesome. Works like a charm. Works wonderful for the double-ended dildo that I have. Works wonderful for the flare base. It's washable. It's so comfortable. I have taken to saying it's ultimately comfortable, because it totally is. It's amazingly comfortable. Another interesting thing that Spare Parts makes, another intriguing harness, is called the Deuce. And this is one for men. And I know I'm kind of getting off track here, but this one has two openings, and this is another thing on my wish list, and let me tell you why. Because one opening is for his penis, and the other is for a dildo, so that he can provide her with double penetration. Or he can just strap one on and keep fucking her with a dildo, even if he isn't hard. That sounds like a lot of fun to me, so that's on my wish list as well as the Deuce. Okay, so moving along with fabric harnesses, there's one called the Rodeo, R-O-D-E-O, capital H. This is one of the least complicated harnesses I found, just basically because it's a pair of underwear, sort of, that has an O-ring in the fly area. It's as comfortable as wearing a pair of underwear because it sort of is underwear. It's cute. I like the pictures of it. It's not particularly feminine. They did come out with a panty style one that has some lace on the side, so that one's a little bit more feminine. It holds the dildo well, and it's supposed to be for dildos up to 2 inches in diameter, but the reviewers say that even a 1 3/4 is a pretty tight fit. They say that optimum is 1.5 inch diameter, so take that into consideration if you like the bigger ones. And to backtrack for just a moment, back to the Spare Parts harnesses, all of those will fit up to 2 inches. Been there, done that. So yeah. And back to the Rodeo. The idea, I guess, that I really like about the Rodeo harness is that you can totally wear it under your clothes so easily. And at the opportune time, you can like whip out your dildo from, you know, your purse, the glove box, your briefcase, wherever, and you're good to go. And I actually wrote a story that had to do something like that. I had a little piece of erotica. Oh, and I'm going to give you guys the link to that, too. Anyway, they're priced really well. All the styles they offer are under $50, and they're well made. The drawbacks are the following. You order your size, and you can't adjust that size. You get what you get, and so it's not something that's adjustable. And, you know, that's what you get with the styles that are like boar shorts or panties instead of the adjustable straps. But also, you know, the scenario I just described about pulling it out of your purse, that's what you get without the adjustable straps too, is the ease of use. So that part's really cool. But if you're into larger dildos, it's not compatible for those diameters, and you can't use a double with this harness unless you cut a hole in the back of it, because there is a piece of fabric that is in the back of the fly, and there is no hole through that, and it seems like if you cut a hole in the back of it, to me it seems like a travesty. It's a nice harness, so cutting it seems kind of, yeah, choose something else if you have a double. If you're into, also, something to consider, if you're into vaginal or anal stimulation during pegging for the woman, this harness covers those areas because it is like a pair of underwear. Again, this is true for all the panty or boy short style harnesses like the Sasha. The Rodeo does have a number of styles. They're called brief, boxer, or panty, and they even have the little lacy one. Perhaps they're trying to weigh in a little bit with that lacy one, the more feminine style, to compete with the other brands like the Sasha. And speaking of the more feminine brands, this next one is dead sexy too. It's called Velvet Nest. This is cotton fabric, and it's one of the most feminine alongside the spare parts Sasha. This one is distinctive in that it has no O-ring. Instead, it has this interlocking Velcro setup. The reviewers said that they doubted that it would hold the dildo well enough, but when they put it in there and used it, it worked perfectly fine. The harness goes on easily, and it's very adjustable with D-rings at the sides. The reviewers say it's really comfortable to wear under your clothes, and it's the prettiest harness they've found. One reviewer even told a story about having desires to peg her boyfriend for years without success. Her different boyfriends, to be more specific. So in other words, she would date guys and she really wanted to peg them and it just wasn't happening. And then she finally got a boyfriend who said yes. And she brought out her leather harness and it kind of freaked him out because it was a little bit too intense, a little bit too BDSM, a little bit too something. Undaunted, she went online and found the Velvet Nest harnesses, and eventually all turned out well in their bed, pegging-wise, because it was nice and feminine, and he loved it. So I thought that was a pretty cute story. These harnesses can indeed be used by the double-enders as well. They are compatible. And Velvet Nest has a Tumblr blog, and it shows a few pictures of women wearing them with what looks like the sheer double-ended dildo in the harness. So I'm going to give you a link to not only their website, but the Tumblr. Always fun to look at pictures of women wearing harnesses. Okay, other materials besides leather and fabric. Aslan Leather also makes, they have a section called vegan harnesses. And in that, they've got vinyl and rubber ones. And also, they have one using only nylon webbing. So the vinyl is sparkly. I actually have a vinyl harness from Aslan Leather. That was my very first one. It's not as comfortable as some of the other ones I have, but it's awfully pretty because it's blue sparkly. It's really cute. And then they have rubber ones, and the advantages to the rubber ones is that they can be used for water play as well. They also have a pretty minimalistic one and a less expensive one that is made strictly from nylon webbing, and it's very minimal. So all of these, I am fairly sure, are compatible with double enders. For the most part, Aslan's really good about stating which work with the doubles in their product description, so you can depend on that. And then we move on to the unusual harness materials, like, for example, rope. I found a YouTube video on how to make a shibari rope harness with 30 feet of rope. It's way cool. Here's another unusual material for harnesses. And these unusual ones are sort of in the category of the make-do or, you know, do-it-yourself kind of thing. Midori has a description of how to make a harness out of two long scarves. And I'm going to give you the link for these things, of course. And then there is, you know, the what have we got that'll work with this at home? You can use men's briefs as long as they've got the fly. You can actually use that. It's not going to be quite as secure, of course, as a harness, but you can get away with it. And you can also use jeans or jean shorts with the fly open, just enough to keep it in there. So all of these can be used to make a harness if you've, say, got a dildo handy, you want to go for it, and then you've got the hankering, and the hankering will not wait for internet shopping time or a trip to the toy store. These are different ways that you can do it. Of course, you're going to have some patience and a 30-foot length of rope if you want to do the shibari one. But it's a cool video to watch. I encourage you to, because it looks really pretty. That's kind of like shibari, you know. Some people really get into the shibari rope bondage, and it is absolutely beautiful, but I just simply don't have the patience. I mean, for me, it's all about restraining. It's not about looking pretty. It's not. That's not why I would put rope on a guy. All right, I digress. Forget it. Let's go back to this other subject that we were talking about. You. So, you can actually find all kinds of harnesses for a wide variety of prices on the internet, all manner of them. Please research them carefully and don't buy anything you can't read a review on. That's so important. I can't emphasize that enough. Many people, when they first consider doing pegging and they want to get into it, they buy a cheaper harness and they use it for just a short period of time and then they go off and buy an expensive one. My motto is buy once and buy quality. You know, I get the reasoning behind wanting to try something out before dropping a decent chunk of change on it, but maybe it would be better to use one of the make-do options, like say get a flared-based dildo and play around with that doing anal play, and if you decide, hey, this really feels good, we want to try the pegging thing, try one of the make-do options. And then if you both love it, then you could really go for a good harness. Because otherwise that whole beginner kit and the harness and everything is going to go on the shelf and not used. And, you know, if you choose a bad enough kit or harness, it can actually affect your experience negatively to the point where you might be put off from pegging. And heavens no, we can't let that happen. So consider the rope, the scarves, the briefs, or the jeans, because those make-do options might be kind of cool to start with. And importantly, inexpensive. That is kind of it for harnesses. That is all I have prepared for you. I welcome any kind of input from you listeners as to harnesses you have that you love. I've heard a lot about the Vacu-Lock harnesses. I don't much care for those. Doc Johnson's not a real good company as far as I'm concerned, so I don't patronize them. They jumped on the silicone bandwagon as soon as they found out that their customers wanted it. I do understand that some people really like the Vacu-Lock harnesses because of the rigidity, because the dildo fastens onto it so well. It does limit your ability of choices for the dildos because there's not very many Vacu-Locks out there. Whenever you're buying anything like that, though, please check the material. I've trained you guys really well for all this. Please check the material of the dildo itself, because some of those are not good. They are making the silicone ones now, so perhaps those are better. But that's all I got for harnesses. And that's actually a lot of choices and a lot of prices. So have fun looking around with all the links. And I have a couple of letters from you guys that I'm going to read to you. This one was a delight to get. It really was. This is from a woman, and here is what she says. Your website is a revelation. I found it after my boyfriend jokingly told me to Google, quote, how to convince your boyfriend to try pegging, end quote. Well, that will definitely get you my website. It's new to both of us. I was asked to do it years ago and wasn't interested, but I'll be frank. My boyfriend has a stunning ass, and since we got together 4 years ago, I've fantasized about fucking it. I knew he was into anal experimentation when we got together, tried fingers, rimming, a vibrator, but I'm dying for more, and we talk about it often, but I can't convince him to try it. He's got some impression, it'll be like a rape scene in a movie, that he's never seen anything with a man enjoying it. We don't trust porn to reflect real life, and it usually involves humiliation. I'm not interested in pounding or hurting him, as I don't like that myself. But he's just not having it. He doesn't want to try a strap-on, and it's driving me mad. He says I should be happy with what I've got. But now, I just see it as the ultimate tease, which he enjoys, but I'm getting frustrated. I've even considered buying a realistic bum to fuck instead, but it seems drastic, haha. I feel daft for even mailing this to some stranger on the net, but I think you understand because you said you had desires you wanted to act on and couldn't. It's not going away, it's growing. Obviously, I can't make him do it, but I'd like him to try, just once to see. We have trust, etc. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for breaking through this now routine joke and brick wall. When I bring it up, he just pokes his ass against me, grinds, and laughs. This was amusing 3 to 4 years ago. Not now. This gal's got needs. Thanks. Oh my. He does sound like the ultimate tease. Grinds his ass against you. Good God. It personally, it makes me think of tying him up and fucking him, but obviously that's not what you want to do because you have a different kind of relationship and a different kind of agreement. What it sounds like maybe, well, it sounds like it could be a few things. First, it sounds like maybe all he needs is some information, or at least that's one of the things I would definitely try. You already seem to understand that pushing is not the way to go about it, and you're not getting anywhere, you know, pushing. So any information you give to him, try and just present it nonchalantly and without expectations if you can. No pressure, just information. Because there's some great information out there that might change his mind about things. One possibility also is that he might be hanging on to that last frontier that is protecting him from the gay bisexual misconception. I mean, your fingers, you know, your tongue, the vibrator, that's in one category, but you actually strapping on a cock is something else again. And that might be the line that he doesn't want to cross because it freaks him out. In terms of being considered gay or bi, in terms of him feeling like his masculinity has suffered, like you're going to look at him differently. These are things that concern guys in connection with pegging. So you are exactly right about the porn. It does not reflect real life, especially pegging porn. Don't watch professional pegging porn, period. I would suggest communicating with him so he knows how much this means to you. And that just the idea of it totally turns you on and you'd really like to explore pegging with him. Try and get past the joking thing and maybe ask him to be serious for a little bit and have a sit-down discussion with him about it, not in bed and not during sex or after sex or anything, any time having to do with sex. Reassure him that you don't have any concerns about his orientation or masculinity in connection with this, and that you just really see it as an exciting thing to try as a couple to see what happens. And, you know, find your own words around this, but that's, you know, communicate and see if you can get him to understand how much it means to you and get past the joking thing. Now, one thing I can provide you, this is Linkorama night, so I'm going to put up a link for amateur videos. I've posted this before, and I moderate a group that is a non-BDSM pegging group on what they call the Tribes, and we have a collection over there of amateur pegging videos, and I'm going to post a link to that. I think they're almost all amateur, and those absolutely show the man enjoying himself. I think if he's open to watching them, he might really enjoy those. And he'll definitely get to see that men do indeed get off on pegging, and they do indeed enjoy it. From your description, because you guys already do anal play with him, I wasn't clear whether he understands and has experienced the difference in terms of the quality of his orgasm, because a combined prostate stimulation and cock stimulation orgasm is pretty intense, or certainly can be. So another suggestion I have for him, if he has not experienced this yet, is for him to read the post I wrote that links to men talking about the quality of their orgasms with prostate stimulation. I've heard men describe those orgasms as 10 times more powerful, so I decided to ask that question in the Reddit pegging group to see what the guys said, and I got a bunch of amazing answers. He might find that an interesting read, and if he has not experienced this yet, it hopefully might get him wondering exactly what an orgasm 10 times more powerful than a normal one would feel like, and that's quite a lure. And again, I've got the link posted here on my blog. if he is already acquainted with that and he knows that the prostate pleasure and orgasm, he's experienced that, but he just won't let you strap one on and fuck him, that's different. Then he might enjoy reading that. He might not. But I have another suggestion then. You might be able to get him thinking about pegging more with the information in an article I'm going to link to by Dr. Charlie Glickman. It's about the role reversal aspects of pegging, and it's called "The World Will Be a Better Place When More Men Take It Up the Ass." And Charlie talks about how pegging is basically like taking a walk in your partner's shoes sexually. It really encourages understanding of your partner's usual role because you guys are switching roles. And it encourages compassion as well. You know, it's the basic. Men have no idea what it's like being penetrated, receptive, and vulnerable. And they have no idea what these things are all about until they try it and experience it. Women have no idea what it actually takes to fuck someone until they try it. So the understanding and compassion that you get from switching those roles builds intimacy between you and totally can deepen your relationship. I have received many a letter about this, about that's exactly what happens. And then from there, my last suggestion is offer a trade. Offer to pleasure him any way he likes for one night. It's all about him. If you can try pegging another night, just once. And if he doesn't like it, you never have to do it again. Because you never know what's going to work. Sometimes, you know, maybe he's got something hanging out in there that he hasn't told you about. And this is, you know, you could even present it that way. Honey, if there's something you've always wanted to do, this is your chance. Because I will do just about anything for you to just experiment with this with me. And I don't think that he needs, it doesn't sound like he needs any reassurances as to how it feels, you know, because he's already doing anal play with you. So, you know, in terms of it hurting or anything like that, you know, that is not part of the picture. And I think he probably already understands that. Once he gets past the pegging porn depiction of humiliation and abuse and all that kind of crap. And wow, that is so not it. But those other video links might help with that. So those are the suggestions I have for you, and I really, really hope for you that one of them turns his pegging switch on. I gather he doesn't really know how lucky he is to have a woman who is eager to peg him. I can't tell you how many guys there are who wish for exactly that every day. And then, last but not least, he may be a guy who never wants to go there, though. And if that's the case, then you do have to be happy with what he allows, the limited anal access, and enjoy what you have, no matter how stunning his ass may be. So, let us know how it turns out. Write and let me know. Here's another short question from a reader. Ruby, I've been listening to your old podcasts, and toxic toys are a frequent topic. You often recommend silicone toys. What about glass? I am assuming that glass toys must be non-toxic. If I am incorrect, what do you think specifically about glass manufactured by Don Wands? Also, your thoughts on using glass toys for anal warm-up. So, glass is a wonderful material for sex toys. It's sterilizable, it's phthalate-free, non-toxic, and it's waterproof, too. The rigidity is what keeps some people from trying them out, and probably would have kept me from trying it out, but since I tried the Enjoy Pure Wand, I am absolutely a fan of harder toys. As far as using the toys for anal warm-up, the only concern I would have would be the styles that do not have a flared base, which is a necessary component for anal toys. You do not want that getting lost up your anal canal. And even the ones that do have the flared base of the Don Wands that I checked out, it's kind of a minimal flare. So here's my take on it. Can your partner safely hold it in her hand to warm you up before pegging and kind of fuck you with it? Sure. For the ones shaped like dildos, though, Should you set it on the floor, play with it solo, and squat over it and fuck yourself? Probably not, just to be safe. Because they look like, they don't say anything on the website about anal use. And those flared base ones, they're not flared a whole lot. Not nearly as much as a flared base dildo. And then the curved ones, it's hard to picture how that can actually go deep inside you. But be safe with those because they are not flared base. The Don Juans really look lovely. They're beautiful. And I checked to see what material they use and found out they use only borosilicate. And that's known to our consumers as Pyrex. So that's what they use to formulate their toys. And so it's got intense resilience and safety to, as they phrase it, even the most enthusiastic user. And because borosilicate conducts heat and cold very well, we can safely experiment with temperatures and play around with that as well. They're not only beautiful, but they seem to be really well priced too. So I might be buying one myself. And of course, wait for it, I'll put the link on the blog. Okay, here's my last item, and it is a piece of news. I was named one of the top 100 sex bloggers of 2012 for the second year in a row. And I'm really happy about that. Last year, I was number 80, and this year, I am number 60. I did a blog post that lists that whole list, not only with links, but with Twitter handles too. So, I mean, if you guys are looking for something to peruse to spice up your year, there are 100 sex blogs. So surely there are some that fit your preferences there. Have a great time reading them. I'm really, really happy to be on the list. Thank you all for your congratulations and good wishes. More than happy about being on the list, though, I'm happy that you're listening. Because a podcast without a listener is like a strap-on without an ass, pretty much. So you can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I've got a Facebook profile and a Facebook page. You can subscribe to my blog, and you are already listening to my podcast. Thank you for downloading and listening. And once again, happy pegging, everyone. This is Ruby Writer, Pegging Paradise.